InfoWarsTeam.com.
Broadcasting live, America Tonight. Very excited to be in D.C., and we're talking about healthcare. Talking about the misconceptions out there, so much that people don't realize. Talking about where we're headed in the future. And we did make it to D.C. despite all the snow, and so did Susan Turnbull, and she's a Maryland Democratic state chairwoman, and I'm sure she's got plenty to tell us and plenty that you'll want to listen to on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and all the flyover states. All of you can appreciate, I think, the fact that we're here in D.C. and we're trying to get the skinny, really the skinny now on health care and the implementation and some of the things that are happening. Susan, thanks for being with us, but you know, I made that joke about getting here and whatnot, and you said when you first stepped up, planes, trains, and automobiles. There's snow all over the East. What's it like?
It's really unbelievable. Well, we had a thunderstorm last night, but a snow thunderstorm. It was really pretty scary. I mean, you literally saw lightning and heard thunder as it is sleeting and snowing, and we had about 8 inches in about, we were doing more than an inch an hour where I live in suburban Maryland.
Wow, an inch an hour.
It's a lot of snow, and it was heavy snow, and what was happening is it was knocking down trees and limbs, so the traffic stories from last night, and I'm very active on Facebook, so I posted on Facebook, lights on, lights off, lights on, lights off, hoping lights stay on, and literally we lost power for about 45 minutes, which was a good thing.
Boy, no kidding. At least you made it here, and we're happy about that. Let's dive right into it. Let's talk about, and of course, you've been involved in policy making. You've been on all different sides of things. We'll talk about that in a second. But just what do you think is the number one, this is a tough question, but what is the number one misconception that people have about the Affordable Health Care Act?
I think the number one misconception is that it's not going to help people. And it does help people, primarily on the pre-existing conditions. I think that's the number one.
Wow. Okay, well, pre-existing, and we know how awful the pre-existing has been for so many people. And switching jobs, people don't just stay in one job anymore. That's not the way the world works.
Well, exactly. What was also really remarkable, our senator, Senator Barbara Mikulski in Maryland, authored the amendment that made gender equity available in healthcare. For example, if a woman had childbirth, had a baby, that was considered pre-existing conditions. For their healthcare coverage, if a woman had been a victim of domestic violence, that was a pre-existing condition before the Affordable Health Care Act was passed.
Wow.
In eight states.
Wow. In looking now and ahead and looking forward, the president said in the State of the Union address the other night, hey, listen, nothing's ever perfect, and I'm completely willing to work with Republicans and Democrats on some of the things that might be better served in health care. We don't want to scrap it, but that's what we want to do. Do you think that that'll happen? Do you think, because there's this push to repeal, the Republicans pushed to repeal, and they got the vote in the House, as you know, but the Senate, the numbers aren't there, and, of course, the president has the veto power. Will we see a piecemeal thing, do you believe?
I hope so. I think so. I think everyone is on board, particularly for the point that he was talking about, which was paperwork for small business. Anything that can be worked out, any cooperation that from legislation that is going to make it easier for a small business to operate, and while at the same time being able to provide health care to employees is a win-win, I think, for everyone.
Yeah. You've seen this. You've seen the healthcare discussions over the years now for a long time, and then what just happened, and now going forward and talking about this, because I think this is still going to be, I really think that this may drag out for a whole year. Who knows? I don't know where it'll go, certainly. But if things were cherry-picked out, and you mentioned one, the paperwork, the 1099, what would you be afraid to lose? What would you be afraid could happen if we were to reverse all of this?
Well, I think actually in preparation for coming here and learning more about it, something that really struck me today was preventive health care. I am someone where preventive health care has always been an issue. My mother had undetected breast cancer. And so it's an issue that really hits me very personally. And there are things about preventive health care that are available now for seniors. There is a provision in the law that allows them to get not only their welcome to Medicare first examination, but they also can have another examination later on that is covered through the Act. There are preventive health care programs that are now available to testing for mammography, for diabetes, for blood pressure. These are all things that save us a lot in the long run, and they're just good policy and good government.
And if it's covered, you think more people will take advantage of that, because you know what the numbers are, then people will say, I don't want to go to the doctor's copay money.
Exactly. It's very confusing. It's interesting. My mother-in-law at age 92 just passed away, and we're going through her papers and things, and she had this notebook where she was writing down every single test and every single thing that happens. And it is very complicated, and it's even more complicated for our seniors. The other thing that goes along with that is with preventive health care is also just general prescription treatment for our seniors, where in 2010, a $250 check was sent out for those who had reached the limit on what was available for what's called the donut hall, had reached the limit, and so they had received a $250 check to make up for the extensive costs of their prescriptions. And in 2011, prescription costs are down 50% for seniors. So you put all of that together, and we can have a healthier society. And I think that's something that everyone agrees is important.
Yeah. And talking about that, what about the premiums? It's the premiums, the cost. And we've seen now that people have gotten double-digit increases. My mother just recently retired, and hers went up. So then she starts shopping around. And, you know, this is a tale that I keep hearing so much, Susan, from so many people, whether they had this fabulous career, it doesn't matter. Whatever they did when they retire, now they're on a fixed income, and they feel like they're stuck. They feel like they're stuck shopping around. So once everything gets in place, is that the deal? It'll be affordable? Because that's what I keep hearing from people.
I think absolutely that's the case, because particularly for people who have been in small businesses, the premiums have grown significantly over the last few years, and this controls those costs and gives people other options of how to be covered rather than being stuck one way or another.
Yeah.
So that the competition itself becomes a reason to bring the cost down.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Well, this has been very enlightening. I think that there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot of listeners out there, I know, that they're concerned about healthcare, where it's headed. And it's interesting. You and I agree on this. I think everybody, I don't care what your stripe is politically, Republican, Independent, Democrats, undecided, whatever, I think we all deserve to have affordable healthcare. Thanks so much, Susan. We appreciate the time.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Talking about this, last week you had attorney generals from Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Wyoming all throwing in on the National Federation of Independent Businesses lawsuit over health care. We've been talking about this a ton. Remember, it all started, if you go back to Florida and the 19 other states in the lawsuit challenging, of course, what is the main thing that we've been talking about here in America tonight, the frustration, the constitutionality of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. So now, if my fuzzy math is correct so far, and it's an ever-changing number, the total number of states involved in the case is 26. Very pleased to welcome to the show Karen Hard, Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. Karen, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the lawsuit and what's going on and how that's going since it all started, since the ball started to get rolling. Obviously, you heard me mention it. You know it. More states are getting involved in this. That has to please you.
Right. We are thrilled that we now have over half of the states in the country that are challenging the constitutionality of this law. And as far as the lawsuit itself, you know, we are eagerly awaiting the decision from our judge in this case. We think that we have presented a really strong case. We think our judge has been really sympathetic to what we've argued and really appreciates that this is the first time in our nation's history the government is trying to compel each of us to buy a product, whether we want it or not, or pay a fine.
Yeah. And the judge, of course, what we're talking about is Judge Roger Vinson, and that's in the U.S. District Court in Pensacola, Florida, for people following this one. And the oral arguments, you go back to December, mid-December, when that happened. And as you just explained, Karen, what the basis of the lawsuit is, the unconstitutionality being challenged. When you first decided to file the lawsuit, what was the take us back for a second. What was the initial reaction?
Right. Well, truthfully, our members were thrilled because, quite frankly, as soon as the law was passed, I mean, NFIB had key voted against the law. We had lobbied against the law aggressively to no avail. And as a result, when the law was passed, our members wanted action. They wanted to know, what were we going to do to stop this? And so we looked around, and we really thought this case made the most sense for us since it was the most national effort with the most states on it. And so when we joined, it was a, you know, thunderous roar of, you know, support. And I would even say, you know, NFIB's membership grew last year. And I think in large part to our involvement in this lawsuit, even despite the bad economic times, so often when we would talk to small business owners, they were really proud that we were standing up and fighting against this law.
Yeah, what if there's people that would argue with you and say, oh, but Karen, I mean, everybody needs health care. And how can you say this is hurting small business? To what end would you say, because I think there's a lot of misinformation. People don't understand exactly what happens to small businesses, and they don't understand even the definition of a small business. So let me wind this back for a second. Tell us what a small business is and how this is killing small business owners, or will.
Right. So the first thing is, you know, the average NFIB member has 10 or less employees. So that's clearly in the definition of a small business. I mean, that's our sweet spot. That's who we represent. And, you know, I just had the fortune of being with one of my members, actually several of my members tonight, but one of them, you know, offered up that he's just gotten his notice that his premiums will increase 25% next year. And we are hearing consistently from our members of double-digit increases. I've even done some work in, you know, trying to find out why the insurance companies are increasing in some cases or discontinuing coverage in some cases. And they say plainly it is because of this law in materials they submit to state governments. So I know that this law is very much a problem. Meanwhile, you've got all of the small business market is different, and this law makes the bad problems that the small business insurance market already faces even worse. And by that I mean, when it comes to, you know, GM and your big Fortune 500 companies or big unions, they're not going to have to comply with all of the mandates in this law. Small businesses will, which means their insurance is going to go up even more. And they're already saddled with so many more mandates, again, than the big guys and the unions have to face. So it really is adding kerosene to the fire that is the small business healthcare crisis that we have right now. It's making a bad problem much, much worse because it's making it more costly. And as a result, members of mine are having to choose between continuing to offer insurance for their employees or, you know, hire new employees.
Yeah, and do you, and this obviously has a lot of them hamstrung, because when you're talking about premiums going up, double-digit increases, especially in this economy and with 10 or less employees or 25%, that's crazy. Do a lot of them feel like, hey, if we have to go this alone, we're going to have to go it alone? I've heard from some small businesses, to give you an example, and you can actually address this better than me, but that what they, some of them have done is they've had to get rid of people. They've had to downsize them and jump in more themselves, and a lot of it is because of the insurance problems. Have you heard the same thing?
No, that's true. No, that's true. I mean, it's causing people to lay off, definitely not hire. And also consider those that, the few, you know, there's about half of the small business owners out there right now that are offering insurance to their employees. And the main reason they're not, that more of them aren't, is because of cost. All we're seeing now is that those, that half is going to go down even farther because they can't afford it. They can't afford these premium increases. And it kills them because these people are their family. They want to offer them health insurance. They want to be competitive against their big counterparts. And to do that, they need to offer health insurance to their employees. But at some point, you can't afford what you can't afford. And they can't afford these high costs of health insurance.
Yeah. What was your reaction to the House repeal vote in favor of repeal of the health care law?
Well, NFIB and its members were very thrilled. I mean, that is what, you know, I think in large part our members were demanding their elected officials do when they came back, you know, to Congress. You know, we of course would like to see it repealed outright, but understand that the politics of the day are probably not going to allow that to happen. That being said, we're working hard on the legislative level to do whatever we can to turn back the most onerous provisions of this law and then through the lawsuit stop it altogether.
Yeah, so figuring if we have to try to work on pulling pieces of this out, and if we could at least get that out, that would help the small businesses, right?
Right, because you've got, you know, particularly the one provision that we are hopeful will be eliminated even as early as next week. The process will start on that, is that horrible provision that any business that does $600 or more worth of business with another one, you know, buys $600 or more worth of goods and services over the course of the year, now has to fill out a form and send it to the IRS. And that is just a paperwork nightmare for small business. And it seems like the legislators and even the president have gotten the message on this 1099 issue. And so hopefully we will at least get that repealed and then look for other opportunities to pull back on the provisions that are really hurting small business.
Yeah. You know this. You're there representing NFIB, and you know how many businesses there are that are small businesses. But for people listening to us, for their benefit, you know, mentioning how it doesn't affect the big boys like the GMs and the Fortune 500 companies, but how many businesses do you estimate are small in the United States that fall under that umbrella?
I think the most common count I hear is around 24 million. So it's a lot. And they're definitely, you know, well over 90% of Americans are employed by a small business. So this is a big deal, not just for the business owners, but for the people that work for them. And making health insurance expensive for small business only hurts all of us. Making it affordable for small business only helps all of us. Congress chose to ignore our concerns and make it harder for small business, and that's why we're fighting this law.
Yeah, do you think you'll find that maybe some more states, as this goes on, because you're supposed to get a ruling by maybe the end of the month, but may bleed into next month, do you think you may even see some more states come aboard on this one?
Well, we do hear of some others that I think Missouri and Montana in particular are looking at legislation requiring their governor to sign on or their AG to sign on. And I do think there's some states out there that are still looking at this. So we will see. I mean, I think that's definitely a potential. And you can also see other states filing their own lawsuits. You know, Oklahoma last week chose not to go with us, but filed their own lawsuit. So technically, if you could consider us with the 26 states and NFIB, plus Virginia has their own lawsuit, plus Oklahoma has their own. Now you're up to 28 states out of the 50 that are saying that they don't want to see this law go forward.
Man, no kidding. Karen Harnd, Executive Director, NFIB, will be watching this one. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new SightGlass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants.
Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BIGBERKEY waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BIGBERKEY waterfilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
Continuing our coverage here in Washington, D.C., thanks to Families USA, part of the whole Health Action 2011. We're out on Radio Row and very happy to be here talking about health care and some of the misconceptions, the dollars and cents of it, what it means to all of you listening to us in Iowa, in Illinois, in Connecticut, in Texas, all over where we're broadcasting. And joining us now is Al Guida. Love that name, by the way. I'm from Philly. Public policy consultant to the National Council for Community Behavioral Healthcare. Boy, does that fit on a business card? That's my question. That's where we start. Al, what a long title. You got to be someone important.
That is Latin for community mental health centers.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about specifically what you do. You're a nonprofit, and who do you help? And you know, how big is your reach?
Right, so I'm actually a lobbyist here in Washington, and I recognize that that's not, you know, that's not a profession that's widely held in high esteem by the American people today. And I represent health interests, but I'm almost exclusively health interests, so mostly nonprofit organizations, but also for-profit companies that have some interest in mental health care policy in the United States. And this particular client, the Community Mental Health Center, serve 6 million low-income people a year with mental health and addiction disorders.
Yeah.
So we have a strong interest in, a big stake in, healthcare reform.
Yeah, no kidding. And, of course, we know the tragedy that happened in Tucson. And one of the things was that came out is that so much of the mental health programs, in fact, if Jared Lee Loeffner, the guy who was sadly pulled the trigger in that shopping center incident, in that tragedy, that there wasn't the availability anyway of mental health facilities there because of cutbacks. Is that, that's true, right?
Yeah, well, just the tragedy of, you know, of that incident. I mean, you know, we don't want to diagnose Mr. Loughner, but it seemed pretty clear that he was struggling with some sort of serious mental disorder. And it's just a tragedy that he wasn't referred to treatment sooner. I mean, had the community college maybe taken a stronger role and actually gotten him into care, it's possible that tragedy might have been avoided, Kate. So just a real loss for the nation. I mean, obviously those young men and women that died there by the side of Congresswoman Giffords and the serious injury that she sustained, what a tragedy.
Yeah, no kidding. Mental health. Now, I think, you know, you could answer this even better than I could, but maybe 15 years ago, maybe even not that long ago, mental health was taboo. We didn't talk about it. You know, there was a guy at work, ooh, he seems like he could use some help, but I'm not going to say anything, you're not going to say anything, and he's not going to say anything because he doesn't want to lose his job. Is that stigmatism starting to go away more?
You know, it is. I hope that we've made progress against the stigma associated with mental illness in this country. However, it's still there. And you can see, again, you know, referring back to Arizona for just a moment, the reaction of Mr. Loughner's classmates when it appeared that his behavior was outside the norm was basically fear. I mean, and so I think a lot of people today are still afraid of persons with mental illnesses, and that fear comes from the stigma associated with these conditions. So I think we've made a lot of progress, particularly over the last 15 to 20 years, but I think we need to make more, frankly.
Yeah, what's at stake with the health law the way it is on the books now, and of course there's the fight to repeal and all that.
Right.
What's at stake as far as mental health is concerned?
Just a couple different things. So the two biggest things, Kate, number one is that this whole question of pre-existing conditions. So in many cases, if you're switching health insurance policies and you're the new company indicates has seen your previous medical records, and it shows that you visited a psychiatrist or a psychologist, or perhaps you even have a diagnosis by a mental health professional, that and they've diagnosed you with you know, potentially major clinical depression or anxiety, that's a pre-existing medical condition. So under prior to the healthcare reform legislation, they could then flat out deny you health insurance. Or they could say, okay, we're going to provide you with health insurance, but we're going to your premiums are going to be 10%, 15%, 20% higher than someone else without a pre-existing condition. Or they could say, we're going to modify your health insurance policy to restrict access to mental health care under this insurance plan. So the elimination of pre-existing conditions is a huge thing for people with mental illnesses in this country, because it should make access to health insurance vastly easier for people with mental illnesses. So I think it's a tremendous breakthrough.
Yeah. How concerned are you? And obviously, as you say, lobbyists can be such a dirty word, but
sure can.
You're out there, obviously, in the trenches, and you see it. How concerned are you that even though the numbers aren't there for the Senate and there's the veto power of the president, how concerned are you that there'll be a big reversal on this?
You know, I am concerned. I think that this is this could be a lengthy process. So it could well be that this battle, Kate, is going to occur over 2 years, 3 years. And so I think that your listeners, within the sound of my voice, should reach out to members of Congress to indicate their support for the Affordable Care Act. I do think, notwithstanding, so we obviously had a repeal vote last week, now there's going to be a sort of a series of, I think the plan is sort of death by a thousand cuts. So there will be a series of hearings looking into the law. There will be efforts to defund various pieces of it through the congressional budget process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is going to be a very lengthy and potentially very bloody process over a period of several years. And so I think that to the extent that there are, and I think that at least the polls show at least half of Americans either support the legislation or seek its expansion, that their voices need to be heard in this debate. The loud voices to date, even during the health care reform debate, was by the folks that were against it and wanted to repeal it. We need to balance that debate.
Yeah, and in the defunding process, it's interesting. You're right. I like your analogy there, death by a thousand cuts. are you also concerned if anything was going to go away, they could look at maybe some of the maybe mental health, maybe they could look at pieces of things and try to pull them out. I think there would be some concern, especially with what you do, obviously, in that that could get chunked aside.
Yeah, and if I can just wonk out for just a second, Kate. So 15 million Americans are going to be covered through these health insurance exchanges.
Right.
For low-income Americans.
Sure.
Now, and mental health and addiction services are a required part of that benefit package for that low-income population. One of the attacks on the legislation will be that benefit package, in fact. So there's a desire to either reduce it or eliminate it in order to provide states with more flexibility because they're going to be running the exchanges. And so we think that there's probably going to be a very high incidence of individuals with mental illnesses in that population, and without question they need mental health and addiction services. So that's going to be one of the key items of this debate, is the extent of that benefit package and efforts on the part of people like me that are going to try to defend it, and then hopefully your callers or your listeners here on this radio station today.
Yeah, and what would you say that's to defend it? If you were talking to me and you were lobbying me on the Hill, what would you tell me, what would you say to me, besides obviously some of the stuff you've already laid tracks for in this conversation, what would you say to me? I'm assuming there's numbers or hard facts about, listen, this is what happens if this column were to go away, if this benefit package were to fall to the wayside.
Right. Well, so what I'd say is, what don't you need? So the benefit package includes mental health and addiction services, physician services, X-ray, inpatient hospital, rehabilitation services. So the question I'd ask is, so which of these services don't you need?
Right.
It's difficult to foresee what conditions are going to require you to need this array of services. And so one would think that you're going to need that array of services, you know, depending upon what your health status is. So I would say that if you want to withdraw a service, then what that seems to mean is that you want to discriminate against a certain section of Americans that are going to require those services. So, for example, rehabilitation services for people with disabilities, individuals that have experienced, for example, physical problems after an auto wreck that need occupational therapy, physical therapy. So are we saying that we're not going to provide occupational and physical therapy for Americans in the aftermath of an auto accident? Because what exactly would be the policy rationale?
Right, right. No kidding. You're here, of course, for the really, it's just the official title. I'm going to read the official title for the first time. Health Action 2011, Families USA is putting this on, but it's the 17th year, like I said, that they do this.
Okay, very exciting.
And obviously all the health professionals come together. It makes sense, as a lobbyist you would be here. What do you extract from this? Do you take back the exchange of information that you can then use?
A couple of things. Information and enthusiasm. So there's no question that a gathering like this, so you have a lot of top congressional staff and lawmakers that are going to be making presentations, and so you glean a lot of information from those speeches and from those remarks and those panel discussions. But I think in addition, you know, you're in a huge hotel in Washington with like-minded individuals,
right,
and you take enthusiasm from the enthusiasm that they bring to the table. There's no doubt, again, that this is going to be a very lengthy battle to sustain this legislation. We're going to need as much enthusiasm as we need, as we can garner on our side of the aisle. And so on our side of the battle.
Right.
Because I do think that while this unfortunately has descended into a partisan battle, my God, mental illnesses don't respect class, they don't respect race, they don't respect party. It's any person in America. One in five Americans has a diagnosable mental disorder today.
One in five?
According to the National Institutes of Mental Health. And so those disorders span ideology, they span class, they span income, they span race, they span ethnicity. And so therefore, that's why this legislation is so important, because we're going to be able to provide, in many instances for the first time, health insurance for people that desperately need it, that in many instances are low income because they have untreated mental disorders.
Wow. Al Guida, very informative. Wow, that number is just staggering. Thank you so much for stopping by here in America
thank
tonight.
Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed it.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers,
and no lingering smell.
Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes.
The next generation of alternative smoking.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book Explains Our Monetary System. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those spots in between. We don't know the numbers yet, but there were a lot of people, I'm sure, watching the State of the Union address. One of the things that was mentioned when the president took a few minutes to talk about health care, he brought up pre-existing conditions and pointed out some people in the chambers, different people who had had severe operations and, you know, what it would cost and the cost of that. But there's mass confusion over coverage for pre-existing conditions already. And the fact that with this new health care law, guess what? You will be paying for everybody else's pre-existing conditions. That's the whole, remember, individually mandated. You'll have to do that. So welcoming to this show, we are going to pull into from our virtual green room Dr. Jane Orient, who has definite feelings on health care reform and, of course, pre-existing conditions. She can explain it even better than I can. Doc, thanks so much for taking some time out to join us on the air. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What don't people realize about the pre-existing condition thing? Because initially you hear it and it sounds, oh, great, okay, so every pre-existing conditions, whew, thank goodness, because, you know, I was worried about that, jumping from job to job and everything else. But I think there's confusion over pre-existing conditions and the bill, how gigantic it would ultimately be because of this individually mandated deal that everybody has to have health insurance. Explain that.
Well, pre-existing conditions are not insurable. You can't buy insurance while your house is burning down or right after you've had a car wreck. or right after you've had a major operation or diagnosis. Insurance is something you buy to voluntarily share risk of something that's not likely to happen, but would be catastrophic if it did. So there certainly are some people who have a problem in that they've lost their job, they've lost their insurance, and they have to be underwritten, and they can't buy insurance at an affordable cost. There are a few million people like that. Most people don't have a problem with this because with employer insurance, it's not a problem. With Medicare or Medicaid, of course, it's not a problem. But there are a few people who are stuck. And the reason this really came about was because people have insurance tied to their jobs, which is really strange when you think about it. You don't get your life insurance or your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance attached to your job. And since people change jobs pretty often, then they are at risk of losing this very important employment benefit and having to be underwritten again when they change carriers.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, by the way. I don't think your insurance should be tied to your job. That's part of the problem. They need to get out of the business of insuring. It's a mess. That's what's become such a nightmare. So what are the other things that happened that people don't understand, and this is something also that's been discussed, is the high-risk pools for the uninsurable. What do the high-risk pools do?
Well, these are state things. I think they exist in about 35 states. And the state will subsidize and force insurers to, you know, chip in something for people who cannot get insurance otherwise. And they do have to pay a higher premium, though. It may be $50 higher. It may be $100 a month higher than a comparable policy for a person who is not in a high-risk pool. See, the problem is if you say, okay, we're going to let you buy insurance when you have a pre-existing condition, people are going to say, well, gee, if I can buy it when I'm sick, why should I buy it ahead of time? But, you know, if you buy it when you're sick, the premium has to be really, really high, and nobody wants to pay the really, really high premium, so then you have to force them to buy the insurance, which gets into the individual mandate. I mean, what people don't realize is that we've already tried this in states like New York and New Jersey, and the monthly cost of health insurance is in the individual market is so huge that nobody can afford it. You know, $9,000 a month, something like that. Because if you say you can have guaranteed issue, you can get insurance after you're sick, and then we're going to spread the cost evenly over low-risk people as well, the price goes up and up and up.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And we see this already. There are people reporting all over the place that their premiums are going up double digits, 25%, that everything was okay. Now with all these changes, all of a sudden they're getting these bills, and the insurance companies are putting, of course, they're putting it back on the people they're insuring. I mean, this is ultimately, it seems backwards to me. If the idea was to make affordable health care, how is that affordable?
Well, it's not affordable, and if you load on all kinds of mandates about what additional things have to be covered, the price is going to go up. And so, well, we will make it affordable by not letting insurance company raise the price. Well, if they have to pay out all these claims and they can't raise the price, they're going to be insolvent, and so nobody's going to get their claims paid because the insurance company's bankrupt. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just a crazy upside-down, backwards way of trying to fix some problems in the system by just blowing the whole system apart.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dr. Jane Orion. She's the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. What do your colleagues say about Obama's health care law?
Well, a lot of them are saying that they can't afford to stay in business because the doctors are going to have all of these new requirements. They're figuring they're going to either have to quit altogether or maybe merge with a larger practice, go into what's called an accountable care organization, which is just another name for a very intrusive HMO that gives all kinds of incentives to deny or delay medical care.
Boy, and then as I'm sure you're so well aware of, too, we have listeners, people that are listening to us in Canada, people who are listening to us in the UK and other places, and they've called up and told us their stories, Dr. Orion, about waiting, a mother waiting for a hip replacement for a year because, of course, it was considered elective and they didn't have any beds, and, you know, that's how the healthcare system is. And while there are some good doctors in Canada, it's getting to them and getting to the beds. Do you think there's a fear as you were saying, the reaction from some of your colleagues, that a lot of people will just be driven away from this. A lot of really good doctors will say, you know, I've had a good living. I'm going to move on from this because I don't want to deal with now these changes and these mandates and ultimately what they're going to do. Will we see that?
Well, about half of the doctors in some surveys have said, yeah, that's what they're going to do. And if you say, well, we're not going to believe it, they're really not going to do what they said they're going to do. We can look at the UK, and the number of physicians before socialized medicine was cut almost in half by 1971. So doctors did leave medicine, or they left the country. And I think that's going to happen here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree as well. What would you like to see happen now that, I mean, we're in the thick of this. You saw what happened with the House. There's still a lot of pressure to pull things out, and if not completely get rid of it, to at least pick it apart. Even the president said that he was willing to work on that. What do you hope happens here?
It should be repealed. It should just be repealed. I can't find anything good in it. The best thing that people, the most popular thing, is this pre-existing condition, which, you know, which really isn't insurance if you force insurance companies to cover that at the same premium as everybody else. So it just really can't be salvaged. It gets to none of the problems that have caused our current cost spiral, which the most important one is third-party payment of everything. The insurance company pays the provider rather than the patient. So the patients and the doctors are really driven apart by this insurance company between them, and neither one of them has any incentive to try to economize.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, we'll see what happens, because there's an outcry, and I still believe the voters, but that's what we saw with the midterm elections. But the more we continue to get these premium increases, and I think that part of it is a lot of people, and you know this, I'm sure, from patients and whatnot, Dr. Orient, that people don't really understand how it affects them until the day it does, until they get a crazy premium or something doesn't make sense. Do you think that's right?
Right, or until their insurance company says, yeah, well, I'm sorry, we're out of business, or their doctor's office is closed, or they find they have to apply to some bureaucracy to find out whether they're eligible, or they find they have to report to the IRS, all kinds of things, so the IRS can determine whether they have done their duty of buying insurance for other people's health care.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Dr. Orient, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We'll talk with you again sometime. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night. All right, so you could tell that this is somebody who knows her stuff and has received a lot of accolades in her career, and says that she's a voice for the patients and for the physicians. That's the group that she's a part of, and is very, very concerned with the government play here and the fact that just flat out get rid of it. You can't pick it apart because there's very little in it that's worth saving. So there you go. Remember, you can always send us your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net. You can also get to us on Facebook and Twitter through AmericaTonight.net.